Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
Great stuff, Max. Thank you so much for reading that so well for us. Okay, we're going to think in three parts about three things to do with that Easter story. We're going to think about what, we're going to think about so what, and we're going to think about now what. So just at the beginning, we're going to think about what. What happened on that first Easter Sunday? Well, we start off at the beginning of Mark chapter 16. If you've still got it open in front of you, just have a look there. Notice, would you, just as we start, that Mark is trying to tell you historical events. He is not telling you a made-up story. And he shows you that by the fact that he tells you when it happened, who was there, where it was, and what happened. He gives you all of that, doesn't he? He starts off by saying at the beginning of Mark 16, when the Sabbath was over, in other words, that's when, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, that's who, isn't it? He's saying those three women. Now, we're going to act this out. We're just going to, it's very simple acting out because it's only eight verses, and we can do this nice and quickly. But we do need, in order to act this out, we need a man dressed in white. Now, I thought Max read that so brilliantly, I thought Max could be, if he's happy to be, our man dressed in white. So, if you'd like to come up, Max, and we'll get you dressed in white. I don't think that he necessarily wore one of these, but there you go. Man dressed in white. Could have been an angel. Probably angelic. And you look angelic wearing that. Just sort you out there, and I'll give you that. And would you like to go and hide in the tomb, which obviously would have been bigger than this? So you've just got to squint, use your imagination, pretend it's a long way away or something, all right? But yes, well done. That's good hiding in that. Now we need three women or girls. We can go with either. So we need three female volunteers to come up. Yes, would you like to come up? Yeah, Pips, yep, as well. One more. Yeah, at the back. Yeah, would you like to come and be one of them? Well done. So we've got Pippa, we've got Emily, and Lily May. I got it right. Well done. Brilliant. So you are the three women. Now, just not to give away the ending or anything, but just have a little look here, because at the end, you're going to be gathered here, and you're going to run away trembling and bewildered. So at the end, you're going to be here, and you're going to need to run away. So just have a little look round where you might run to. So Lily May, maybe you'd run down the middle. And would you like Emily? Maybe you go down that way. And then Pips, you're happy to run that way? Okay, so just so you know where you're going to head at the end, all right? So, but you're not going to start here because you're already at the tomb if you're here. So you're going to start at the back, all right? So could you three go to the back, and I will come and join you in just a moment. So well done, you three. That's it. Go to the back. Well done. So now we start off at the beginning of Mark 16. It says, when Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices. That's those three women. Now, those three women have been in the account already in Mark chapter 15. They are the three women who saw Jesus killed, who saw Jesus crucified, and their names are specifically mentioned in chapter 15 as being the three women who saw it happen. And two of those women saw Jesus buried. Not all three, just two of them saw Jesus buried. And their names are listed in Mark chapter 15. What's Mark doing? He's saying this is a historical account. These three women saw him killed. Two of them saw him buried. And all three of them were there on Easter Sunday morning when Jesus had risen. In other words, Mark is saying this is history. This happened. And if you'd been alive then, you could have gone and checked with these three women. That it really happened. That's why he's giving you their names. Okay, so we start off with the three women. Actually, we're starting when Sabbath is over. So I'm going to come to the back. When Sabbath is over, which would have been in the evening. So you three girls, you need to buy spices. All right, now, I don't have any embalming spices, surprisingly. But I do have a few spices from the cookery cupboard, which they wouldn't have used. But anyway, there we go. So which one of you would like Chinese five spice? Thank you, Lily Mae. Well done. Cumin? Anyone go for cumin? Well done. Well done, Emily. And you've got paprika. Okay. It wouldn't have been those spices, but there you go. And so you guys, you've bought your spices. And then very early on the next day, I'm on the wrong page. Very early on the next day, they're heading to the tomb. Now, don't take the lids off and sniff the spices. You might start sneezing. Right, so very early on the first day of the week, this is again when, they go to the tomb to use the spices on the dead body. All right, so you guys are going to head with me to the tomb, all right? So you head up this way. Now, as you come, one of you needs to, let's just pause here for a moment because one of you needs to read this out. Would one of you be happy to read this? Would you be happy to do that? Okay, can you do it nice and loudly? Would that be all right? Because I forgot to bring the microphone with me, so just project it, all right? Give it a go.
Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?
Brilliant. So they're wondering who's going to roll the stone away. Oh, thanks, Colin. Touch late. But anyway, thank you. They've already asked the question, but thank you anyway, Colin. So they're asking the question, who's going to roll the stone away from the tomb? In other words, they're not expecting that Jesus will have risen from the dead. All right, so girls, do you want to keep coming this way? Okay, so they get to the tomb. But pause here. When they looked up, it says, they saw that the stone, which was very large. Now, you've got to imagine that that is a very large stone. It's actually just a bean bag, all right? But it wasn't back then. It was a big stone, all right? So you've got to imagine the big stone, which was very large, that you would never have been able to push out the way, the three of you, has already been moved away. And it has been. And so they go up to the tomb. Come up this way. And it says they go in the tomb, but I don't think we'll cram everyone in the tomb. So would you guys like to come and stand over here? And they are amazed that they see in the tomb a man dressed in white. That's it. Good. Oh, that's brilliant. Okay. Surprise. Can we see surprise on your faces? Yes. Surprise. A little bit of laughter as well, but that's not what they did. But anyway, they're surprised. At which point, the young man dressed in white, in a white robe, sitting on the right-hand side, they were alarmed, and he says,
"Don't be alarmed."
Oh, hang on, I have got the microphone now. I could hold this in front of you. Sorry to interrupt you, man dressed in white.
"Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you."
Okay, brilliant. Well done. Now, at this point, you might think, it would have been at this point that the women would go, "Brilliant, this is great." But they didn't. It says in the Bible, trembling and bewildered, the women, this is your moment, went out and fled from the tomb. Go! That's it. Very good. And you can go and sit back down now if you want. I should put the spices somewhere safe. And thank you, man dressed in white. Maybe you could take your white robe off. Let me give you a hand. Oh, well done. Very good. Intriguing, though, isn't it? That Mark's gospel ends there. Actually, the bit that you've got on the, in there, so you see, you might be thinking, no, it doesn't. You've got verse 9 onwards. But actually, as it says at the beginning of that little bit, it says actually the earliest manuscripts didn't have the rest of this. In other words, Mark's gospel originally ended at verse 8. The women, trembling and bewildered, fled from the tomb and told no one. And that's it. It's an odd ending, isn't it? You get, in Mark's gospel, you get no appearing of Jesus. But yet, the man dressed in white who was in the tomb, he tells you everything you need to know. It's like Mark saying, yeah, it's happened, just as Jesus said. I don't need to give you any more than that. Of course, we've got elsewhere in the New Testament evidence of Jesus appearing to people. You've got the accounts of that. But Mark just ends there. But the man dressed in white has told you the key events. He tells you the key events. Did you see what he said? He says, what happens? What does he say happens? He says, you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. In other words, there are three things, three key events that happened over Easter. Here are the three key events. Jesus died. He was crucified. That's what the man in the tomb said. He was crucified. Jesus was buried. He was really dead. Really dead. And they put him in a tomb. They laid him in the tomb. And last thing, Jesus has risen, just as he said he would. And that's where Mark's gospel ends. What happened? Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus has risen. Let's do those actions together and say it together, just to get it in our heads. Okay, you ready? Jesus has died. Jesus was buried. Jesus is risen. Let's give it a go again. Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus has risen. Those are the key events. And we're going to think in a moment about so what. But for now, back to Colin. Okay, so we've thought about what. We're now going to think so what. Because you might think, well, okay, that's all very well. 2,000 years ago, we hear this report of Jesus having died, buried, risen to life. But so what? What difference does that make to us today? Now, I'm just going to fire out to you three things that this means, that the Bible says, well, because Jesus rose from the dead, therefore this. And I'm just going to throw them out there to you, as it were, today, knowing that, well, if this is new to you, you might well think, I need to find out more about this. I need to investigate this further. So I'm just going to throw out three things that the Bible says. Here are some of the implications. And actually, the Bible says there are a whole load more implications of the resurrection. So first thing is this, forgiveness. Because Jesus died on the cross and rose to life again, we can be forgiven. If you've seen the BFG, the film, the BFG, the big friendly giant, the giant catches dreams, doesn't he? And one of the nightmares that he catches is the nightmare that they actually give to the other giants, the bad giants. And the nightmare is this. Look at what you has done. He's not very good at English. Look at what you has done and there be no forgiveness. That is a nightmare. That is a nightmare that we would all have. If everything that we have done wrong, is not forgiven, that is a nightmare. But Jesus came to deal with that nightmare, to say actually on the cross, he took the punishment we deserve. That's what the Bible says. So that you and I, if we trust in him, if we come to him, can be forgiven. Have you come to Jesus yet for forgiveness? That's what he came to die for. And the resurrection shows that forgiveness has been won. You can be forgiven. I can be forgiven for all that we have done wrong because of what Jesus did. We need to come to him. So what? Forgiveness. Second, Jesus is Lord. This is in Acts, the preachers go to in Acts, Peter and Paul, the apostles, when they preach about Jesus, they go to the resurrection, they see Jesus has risen from the dead, and therefore he is Lord, or he is Christ. Now, Christ means king. So Peter, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, says this, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is the Lord, he is the Christ, he is the King. There is no one higher than Jesus. No one in a position of greater authority. His power is unmatchable. His authority is supreme over all. No king or queen or president or ruler or governor comes close to Jesus. The Bible's claim is the resurrection shows Jesus is Lord over the whole of creation throughout the whole of time. And the right response is to bow before him with our whole lives and submit to him. So, forgiveness. Jesus is Lord, and lastly, death is defeated. This is an awesome result. Death is our great enemy, isn't it? Death is our great enemy. However great our life is going, we know that actually that's where it ends. Except because Jesus died and rose to life again, death is defeated. It need not be a at the end. Actually, it can be a at the end. We can know that we can have life beyond death because when Jesus rose from the dead, he conquered death and can give you that resurrection life beyond this life. He can give you hope, an eternal hope of life forever. That's what the resurrection shows. So will you come to Jesus for that life if you haven't yet? Three amazing results of the resurrection. Forgiveness, Jesus is Lord, and death defeated. That's the so what. In a moment, we're going to think about now what.
I'm now going to show an interview with Mark Evans, who is a member of the church family.
Mark, thank you so much for being willing to tell us about how you became a Christian. It'd be really interesting to know, did you start off life going to church? Were your family churchgoers?
Yes. Both my parents were Christians, and myself and my two brothers, we all went along to church from the earliest age. But as you start to become, I found going through teenage years, as you start to become more aware of the fact that not everyone's a Christian, and in fact, most of your friends don't go to church, you start to think, okay, so I believe this, but on the other hand, from listening to what I'm hearing on a Sunday and in Sunday school, there's a bit more to it, and I don't think that that's really going on inside me.
So you thought at that point you weren't a Christian?
I don't think I could honestly put up my hand and say I was a Christian.
And so then what happened in your teenage years?
My mother was a great help in this, in taking me through the Bible. She was very good at taking me through and thinking, well, if this is what you believe, then you need to understand what Jesus has done for you. And if you believe these things, then cry out to God. And as it says, if you knock, the door will be opened. One evening we'd spent quite a bit of time reading a couple of passages and discussing this. And then she left me to pray and said, right, well, what you should do is you should read the Bible and pray to God. So that's what I did. And I remember, for the first time, genuinely saying, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I need Jesus to save me. And I believe what it says in the Bible. This is what it says. Lord, please do this for me.
And so then was it all plain sailing from then on, from then till now?
Definitely not. I started working in an investment bank in the city. Lots of distractions, lots of opportunity to travel, and plenty of new interesting things and friends to go and do, much of which can easily distract you from thinking about God and what God wants. But also, importantly, act as a distraction to stop you from going along, which end up stopping me going along to church. And actually, after a couple of years at working at UBS, which is where I joined, they then sent me to work in Zurich. The nature of these things are they're distracting. And lots of them are good fun and going skiing and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's all great. But I couldn't get away from the fact that actually they sent me going, you know what, this is wrong. You should be, what you're doing, you're not being true to yourself anymore. You're certainly not being true to God. You're not living like you should be.
So even when you were drifting away, there was something in you saying, actually, I need to get something sorted.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, definitely. If somebody had observed the way I was living and things I was doing, I wasn't going to church. I was, having plenty of time in the pub or whatever. You wouldn't be able to say, oh, that person's living like a Christian, because I wasn't.
What happened to change that?
I felt coming to Emmanuel that this was home, basically, and very much getting back into a place I needed to be.
When you started coming along to Emmanuel, you then also did the Christianity Explore course. So how did that help?
Yeah, that was really helpful. The thing about the Christianity Explore course is it breaks down into simple blocks that are easy to understand. What are the core truths in the Bible? And if you're not a Christian and you want to understand what the Bible's all about, that's a great thing to go and do
Was there a point where you thought, okay, now I'm back with God, now things are all sorted with God?
The wonderful thing about the gospel is there's nothing you need to do. There's nothing you can do. What you need to do is believe and trust in Jesus. And in essence, that's what you said to me was, if you believe this is true, then you should live your life in that way, which is read God's word, pray regularly, ask the Spirit to grow within you and help you to lead a Christian life. And that's it.
And so what difference does being a Christian, following Jesus, make to you today?
For me, I'd say there's no particular big, massive change, certainly not that's visible on the outside. But it's much more around how I think about things inside me. I'm working as much as I need to at work, but I also want to make sure I've got time for church things, I've got time for family things. It's not all about that. It's actually making sure that I sit under God, I do what I need to do at work, I make sure I make time for the family, but as God wants me to do it, as opposed to not thinking about God and just doing it because I want to do it. But being a Christian means that, for me, I have a personal relationship with God. So if there's something difficult, we should always pray about all aspects of our life. But in doing that, then, first of all, praying to God, you're praying to the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's amazing. Because what it means is you can put your worries upon God and not have to carry the whole burden yourself. And it's great that you can do that. And it's also amazing that I can have a relationship with God and call him my father, which I can now do.
Brilliant. Well, Mark, thank you so much for telling us about what God has been doing and is still doing in your life.
Mark, thank you very much for doing that. It's appreciated. Luke, come and bring our second reading to us.
Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 6. This can be found on page 1155 of the Church Bibles. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 6, on page 1155. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, so that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Great, thank you, Luke, and thank you, Mark, for saying how you became a Christian. Sorry about the jumpiness of that. That is not how Mark normally speaks. But I'm sure we'll get that testimony up on the website as well, so you can watch that with the smooth version of it. But I hope you got enough of what Mark was saying there. So we've thought about what, we've thought about so what, and now we're thinking, now what? Okay, how do we respond to this? And actually, that 1 Corinthians passage that Luke just read for us tells us exactly how we should respond. Do you notice that Paul, in that passage, again, picks out the three big things of the events of Easter? What are the three big events? What happened? Jesus was buried, and Jesus has risen. And Paul again says, look, here are the key events. Okay, what do we do about that? Now what? Well, verse 1 tells us of that passage. Paul says, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. That is what we need to do. You see, Christianity is not a philosophy. It's not just a set of nice ideas. It's not about being good. It is about taking a stand on these historic events of Jesus, death, burial, resurrection. It is taking a stand on those things. So now what? Take your stand. Take your stand. Will you take your stand? I just want to address you at three different kinds of people who maybe there are here today. Maybe you're not a Christian yet. Like I say, it's great that you're here. If you're not yet a Christian, maybe you go, well, I don't think I've got enough information yet to take a stand on these truths. Come along on Christianity Explored. I'd urge you to do that. Grab one of the leaflets as you leave as well to find out more. Investigate. You need to find out more. Will you do that? Even if you've got doubts, even if you've got objections, pursue this. Find out more about it. I'd urge you to do that. Maybe you're saying, actually, today I feel I can make that stand. Maybe for the first time. Maybe you're saying, okay, I haven't done before, but now I'm going to take my stand on these truths. What a great day it would be to say, yes, I believe in these events. Will you join millions of people throughout the world, throughout history, who have stood, or for the last 2,000 years, who have stood on these truths? It'd be wonderful if you did that today. And if you're a Christian, maybe you've taken your stand before. What does Paul say for you to do? He says, hold firmly to these truths. Here is the core of your faith. He says, hold firmly to it. Don't let these go. Maybe you've been tempted to drift away a bit. Hold on to these truths. Jesus died, he was buried, and he's risen. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity now for us all, if you want to take your stand and to hold on firmly to these truths. We're going to stand in just a moment. We're going to stand and we're going to declare words that are on the screen, which are actually taken directly from 1 Corinthians 15. If you're not yet a Christian, don't feel you need to, don't think you should say these things. But maybe if you're taking your stand for the first time, declare these things. If you're holding on to these truths, declare these truths. So let's stand. And after we've declared these truths, stood firm on them, hold on to them, we're going to take communion, which is also a part of standing firmly on these truths. So the words you'll need will be on the screen. This is the gospel which we received together, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 at the same time. On this gospel, we take our stand. And now please have a seat.